This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitcher's mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitcher's pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today on the program, we're going to talk Dodgers in a stacked NL West division. To do that, please welcome 16-year big league veteran, World Series champion, my buddy. He's currently broadcasting with the LA Dodgers, so we got a lot to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Jerry Hairston. Jerry, thanks for doing this.
Brett, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. As we head towards opening day, I know you haven't heard about this. Something's going on with one of your key players. How big of a distraction do you think Ohtani's going to be? You're on the ground there. You're seeing on a daily basis.
Listen, Brett, obviously when you play in the big leagues, it's the big stage. It's the big show. Anytime you have a guy like a Shohei Ohtani, that's going to bring eyeballs to the arena. I mean, arguably the best athlete and probably the most popular athlete going on the planet right now. So obviously the situation that is kind of currently surrounding him, I'm just so glad he was able to address it, really clear the air. And he talked for 12 minutes, man. You know, usually, Brett, you know this, when guys are involved or not involved, they read a statement for like 30 seconds, maybe a minute, don't ever look up, and then they walk off. He sat there and talked for 12 minutes. It was from the heart. It was genuine. And he came off incredibly well. I mean, I know his teammates are all behind him, supporting him. And when we talk about an interpreter for him, people think, oh, it's just his interpreter. He was way more than that. He had trusted him. He was with him 24/7 since 2013. They were best friends. He had access to everything. So I don't think it's going to be a distraction to him. I don't think it's going to be a distraction to his teammates. It's the Dodgers. They're a huge market. Everybody expects them to win. The pressure going into this season was pretty big. But I think the expectations were maybe probably a bit bigger for them. They expect to win, and they're putting themselves a little bit of pressure on them, especially the last two postseasons. So whatever's thrown at them, they're going to handle it. It's a tight clubhouse, great leadership. So no matter what's going on in the outside world, they're a tight-knit group inside, and I think this is going to bring them together.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you're everybody, obviously, you being on the ground with the Dodgers, you're going to be asked this question more than anybody. I'm asked the question. Believe me, I saw the press conference. I thought he came off well. I thought he did look sincere. I'm a huge Ohtani fan and what he's done for this game. What he's doing, Jerry, I didn't think was realistic for any one man to do at the big league level. And he's broken that barrier. He's proven that he can do it on both sides at not just do it on both sides, but do it on both sides at a high all-star level. I'm a big fan of Shohei Ohtani. I'm going over this scenario and I'll drop it after this. I want to get into this team and this team that's been built this offseason. I've been going over my head time and time again. And you know, when you're looking, I'm looking for, no, everything's okay. Everything's okay. And I'm trying every scenario in my brain to get him away from these, charges. And I keep coming up with, he had to know something. Anyway, I won't dwell on this. The thing that does bother me, though, and it's going to all come out. I mean, they've got investigations. That's what that's for. His job now is to go out and play for the LA Dodgers. The thing that does bother me in the press, and I am against, is when I hear the Pete Rose comparisons. It's like, wait a minute. We got a gambling thing, and you're all of a sudden you're going there to baseball. No, this isn't a baseball thing. I played a long time. I know a lot of athletes that like to bet on a football game, like to bet on a basketball game, March Madness. It's just the way of the world. It's what everybody, normal people do. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. Definitely, but it's definitely been the big topic this week. All right, want to get into the Dodgers. Obviously, they had a big offseason. Yamamoto coming over from Japan, fellow countryman of Shohei. And it's not that. You got Glasnow from Tampa Bay, who we know, big time starter when healthy. Problem is, how healthy can it be? What you've seen so far this spring and how that starting rotation sets up for you right now. I want an update on a Walker Buehler. Your thoughts and when Kershaw is going to be available.
Well, Brett, you know, obviously the Dodgers the last couple of years have been knocked out early in the first round in the postseason. Even though they went into the postseason heavily favored, their pitching wasn't healthy. You know, last season, Clayton Kershaw pitched game one and he needed surgery. We relied on young guys, rookies, to pitch in the postseason. And, you know, credit the D-backs, credit the Padres the year before. They just outplayed the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers were banged up, especially in the pitching department. Now, fast forward to this season. Going into this season, they're pretty much relatively healthy. You talked about the Dodgers trading for Glasnow and now extending him as well. He is an elite ace pitcher. He's got incredible stuff. He'll run that fastball around 98 miles an hour. Outstanding breaking ball and slider. He is elite. Now, can he give us, you know, 150, 175 innings and be healthy going forward into the playoffs? I believe so. He's coming off his second year. You know, Brett, after surgery, it's that first year you're really trying to find yourself, get yourself right, and it's that second year where you feel normal. We're into that second year with Tyler Glasnow. I think he's going to have a great year. The number two starter for the Dodgers is Bobby Miller. Brett, he's a throwback, man. He's a guy that, you know, he would have pitched in our era and would have thrived in our era. He's that guy, wants the ball, workhorse, very similar to Walker Buehler, but bigger. I love that he's a Chicago kid, tough as nails. He's got everything, great fastball, outstanding breaking ball, and he's a dude. You know, he's really starting to come in his own in his second year. He gets the ball as our second star. And you mentioned Yamamoto. Yamamoto's a guy that's 25 years young, just starting to enter his prime. Even though he had success in Japan and he was the elite pitcher in Japan, he's going to have to make some adjustments here at the big league level because this is the best players in the world, you know. And he's going to find himself, I think he will. Once he makes the adjustments to that baseball, I think he will be effective. Just like Nomo had to make an adjustment, just like other Japanese pitchers, like Yu Darvish had to make an adjustment, I believe he will. And then we go to our four or five starters. Gavin Stone, a young guy, He's got great makeup, great character, has five pitches, a guy that can give us innings, and the Big Maple, Canadian guy. Love his makeup, Paxton. He's our fifth starter. Now, you talked about Walker Buehler as well. He'll be back sometime around mid-April, maybe late, maybe early May. There's no rush on him. I know he's going to go on a rehab assignment shortly, but they want to make sure they build him up right so he is healthy heading into the postseason, and obviously Clayton Kershaw. And you hear what I'm saying heading into the postseason. It's like a foregone conclusion, right? Well, we just touched on it. Dodgers. It's World Series or bust. I know that's a thing that it's always talked about with LA, but more so this year, because let's be real. The offseason that the Dodgers had, the expectations are great. And it's even greater in that clubhouse. They expect to win, and they expect to be in the postseason and making a serious World Series run. And it brings me to my last guy, Clayton Kershaw. You know, it was probably the worst kept secret that he was going to come back and sign with the Dodgers. We're glad that he did. He's finally healthy, but they're going to make sure that he's slow played after surgery to make sure that he's strong come July and August and make sure that he's ready to roll later in the season.
You know, interesting guy. For me, I look at that rotation. For me, the key is Walker Buehler. If you get a healthy Walker Buehler at his best, guy, he's at the top of that rotation. He's right there with the best in baseball. That's a key for me. And a guy you mentioned that's interesting, and I forget that he's on the team, is the Paxton. Paxton's been a guy, and I've watched him for years now. He's ping-ponged to several different organizations. When he's on, wow, he's got electric stuff. Go back to our day. He's got Randy Johnson type stuff when he's right. Problem is, he hasn't been right. That'll be really interesting to keep an eye on if Paxton can stay healthy. Because if he does, that's a big arm at the end of that rotation.
Absolutely. And you know what? He's got that toughness too. And he's got swing and mixed stuff. You know, you mentioned the Randy Johnson. He's a big dude. I didn't realize how tall he was.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. And he's got that little deceptive delivery and makes it difficult for even the right-handed hitter. So he is the key guy. I know he's our fifth starter, but doggone it, he is a key guy that you want in your rotation. And I'm excited to see him pitch now that he's healthy.
And Yamamoto, that's an interesting thing for me. Always interesting coming over from Japan, especially with the expectations, the huge contract, the $300 million. I know he didn't have a good spring an established professional. I never, and as you know, Jerry, spring training, probably the most overrated stat in all of sports. The ballparks are different. The wind's different. Guys are getting their work in. Some, you know, the starters are sometimes out of the game for after the third, and it's six innings of Triple-A baseball. So overrated. I don't worry about that opening day, which is a weird that you even had opening day a week ago, and now we're going to go back to game three for the Dodgers coming up. Yamamoto got hit pretty good, but it's way too early. It's going to be really interesting how that plays out. Let's go to the bullpen. How's that bullpen looking?
Well, I think the bullpen is a strong heading into the season than I've seen a Dodger bullpen have in recent years. They have depth with that bullpen, guys that can get you out in a variety of different ways. The power arms are there. Evan Phillips is a guy that you can rely on to close out games. Now, he's been used in high leverage situations in the last couple of years. And then last season, especially towards the end of the season, he was named that closer. I believe he will be the closer this season. They haven't officially named him yet, but I think he is the closer. And I think he has a chance to save somewhere between 35 to 40 games. You know, he's got great stuff, great makeup. I love that Blake Treinen is back. He missed all of last year and part of the year before. He's got electric stuff, one of the best sliders I've ever seen. Daniel Hudson, a big game pitcher, closed out a World Series a few years back with the Nationals. You have guys I mentioned, Joe Kelly, another big game pitcher. You got veteran guys along with the young guys with great stuff. Bruce Dar-Gratterall is, nasty. Runs that fastball around 100 miles an hour with great sink and run. Now he's got the depth to his breaking ball. I think that was the biggest key, to get hitters off that fastball to add that depth with that breaking ball. He had a tremendous season last year. Alex Vesey is a guy, a lefty, who can get guys out. Great fastball, especially up in the zone. So they're deep in that bullpen. They got a lot of arms, experienced arms, as well as young guys that are really starting to establish themselves in the big league. So as long as that bullpen stays healthy, man, they're going to be a really great group that Dave Roberts can rely upon.
Yeah, and Dodgers have, they've always had that power bullpen. In today's game, it's kind of a necessity. You know, it's where the money's, a lot of money's put. Whereas years ago, a lot of the money wasn't reserved for the bullpen. It was, hey, if you don't make the rotation, you go to the bullpen. Now it's, hey, we're grooming these guys to be bullpen guys from the start, and Dodgers definitely have a power bullpen. I look at this offense, okay, and I think for the layman, it's a no-brainer. It's a super team. Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman by themselves, it's as good as it gets, really, threesome in all the game. Definitely one of the top offenses in the game. Philly's got a really good offense. Obviously, we saw down the stretch last year and won a World Series. The Texas Rangers have a tremendous offense. Houston Astros. But the Dodgers are at least as good or maybe the best in the game. Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. You got Max Muncy, who hit below 200 last year, but he's probably going to hit you 30, 35 homers. Will Smith, probably the most underrated guy out there. I think he's tremendous. I don't know why we don't hear about him more. He's your backstop. And then you've got Taylor, who plays a great role. Kiki Hernandez has played a key role on those Dodgers teams in the last 4 or 5 years. And Gavin Lux, who brings me to my question. I want you to comment on the offense. We've had off air conversations, and I've asked you this point blank. For me as a second baseman, during my day, you ask me, Booney, you gotta play shortstop. Okay, I can fill in for a couple days, but they're too long, I'm going to be exposed. That's why I play second base, because I'm comfortable. And you know, this mental, this side of the game in baseball, if you're not comfortable and it becomes mental, it starts to affect your world, and you can't, mm-hmm. you're having trouble hitting because you're worried about going to a spot that you're not ready to defend. For me, I've never seen it, and I told you this. If Mookie Betts plays 162 games and is a good shortstop, it'll be one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. I've never seen somebody be made a shortstop. I know he's a freaky athlete, one of the best players in the game, perennial MVP guy. I want your version of this lineup and the left side of the infield for the LA Dodgers, Max Muncy being the other one at third base.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy, only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, the lineup you mentioned, it's as good as it gets. Mookie Betts, arguably one of the best leadoff hitters of this generation, of any generation. He's got tremendous power. Hit 39 bombs last year. He's at the top. Then you have Shohei Ohtani. You know, the power is there. He continues to get better as a hitter. And then you have Freddie Freeman, a guy who could drive in runs. So that 1-2-3, it's as good as it gets. You got three guys with professional hitters written all over them. They can go the other way. All three can run the bases. Shohei Ohtani's got incredible speed. I think he'll lead the team in stolen bases. That's what kind of speed he has. You got Freddie Freeman, who's a doubles machine. So that three is going to wreak havoc. I think that three will benefit the rest of the lineup, like a Will Smith that you mentioned. I really believe Will Smith will have a career year swinging the bat. The RBI opportunities will be there. The reason probably you don't hear a whole lot about him because he's a quiet guy. He's not a guy that wants a whole lot of fanfare, doesn't make a lot of noise, very quiet, but he's an incredible leader. He has really taken off as a leader behind the plate. The pitching staff loves throwing to him, and he's learned a lot from the backup catcher, Austin Barnes, who's really the perfect backup catcher. So those two guys do an incredible job orchestrating that pitching staff. And then you mentioned Max Muncy. I really believe Max Muncy, you know, the last couple of years, he just hasn't hit as far as for average the way he would like. He has really made a conscious effort to kind of shorten up his swing, make sure he barrels the baseball, and gives himself a chance as far as putting the ball in play. If he does that with the guys that are ahead of him, that's always going to be on base, he has a chance to have 110, 120 RBIs. I think he realized that. And then Teoscar Hernandez, who I absolutely love, great makeup guy. Everybody I've talked to say that this guy is one of the best guys as far as being in the clubhouse, the production he has on the field, whatever your team needs, I'll play right, I'll play center, I'll play left. Wherever you want to hit me in the order, I'll do it. He's a team guy. And then you have guys like Kike Hernandez who can play everywhere. CT3, same thing. And then Gavin Lux. And I'll touch on, you know, Gavin moving from shortstop back to second base and then the mix with Mookie Betts going from right field to second base and then going from second base, hey, Mookie, we need you to play shortstop. And Brett, you know this. Brett, you were one of the best second basemen of our generation. You could flat out pick it. Obviously, you hit a lot of bombs. A guy that was relied upon in the early part of your career, you're in the top of the order. But late in the part, you were a guy that hit third, fourth, fifth driving runs. That's a heavy responsibility, right? And play defense at second base and do that at the plate. We're asking Mookie Betts to be a Gold Glove right fielder 1 year. Come back. Hey, I want you to focus on second base in the offseason. You can be that Gold Glove caliber second baseman. So he did it all offseason, focused on second base. On the fly, 2 weeks into spring training, Mookie, we need you to be the shortstop. And not only that, we need you to anchor the lineup. You're the leadoff hitter. We need you to get on base, steal bases, drive in runs, score tons of runs, and play elite-level shortstop. Like you mentioned it, Brett, this would be the most impressive thing that you've ever seen. And I'm right there with you. But I'm going to tell you this. Ken Griffey Jr., for my eyes, is the best baseball player I've ever seen. You know, just all around. Mookie Betts is the most skilled baseball player I've ever seen. No disrespect to Willie Mays. No disrespect to Hank Aaron, Lou Gehrig, all the greats from past eras. I never got a chance to see them play, and I respect every era. Great players are in every era. But for my eyes, as far as skilled players running the bases, being able to play different positions at an elite level, and then, oh, by the way, being elite at the plate, I've never seen a more skilled player than Mookie Betts. So him playing really good shortstop, and I've seen him not just this spring, but I saw him play really good shortstop last year. He's the most skilled player I've ever seen.
It's unbelievable. For those of you listening or watching the Boone podcast right now, it really is. Jerry, you played every position on the field, I think, with the exception of pitcher. So you know what it's like. I remember I played college. I was a shortstop, but it wasn't because I was a shortstop. I was the best shortstop on my college team. I got to pro ball, and I remember that first day of that mini camp that I had right after the draft, and they said, take your positions. I started running to short, and I heard a voice behind me say, Boone, you go to second. And it was the biggest relief I've had in a long time because I knew I was a second baseman. I knew I was I wasn't a shortstop. Anything at me, Jerry, or to my left, piece of cake. That was easy. But for some reason, that play in the hole, and I think that's what separates everybody, my feet would get tangled up, and I just couldn't do it. I go over to second base, I could play it blindfolded. But you put me at short for more than a couple games at a time, eventually I'm going to be exposed. And I remember during my college years playing short, knowing I'm not really a shortstop, I'm just doing it because we don't have anybody else to play it. It kind of wore on me after a while because I constantly was thinking about defense, where you get to a position where you're comfortable, man, defense just fall. I used to love playing second base because we're not going to always hit. And when I was in a slump or I wasn't doing it at the plate, I knew I could really impact a game at second base and turn it around, take away hits, and win games out there. At short, I was just trying to survive. So that's why I say I know he's just an unbelievable athlete. There's nothing he can't do. But for me to watch this to get through it the entire year, it's going to be the most impressive thing I've ever seen in the game of baseball. Up until this point, Ohtani doing what he's done the last 5 years has been the most impressive thing. Well, Bond's got a few things in there too. But now if I see Betts, it'll be unbelievable. Quickly before we go on to the rest of the division, I'm gonna set the over under. Got to keep the gambling theme. 102 for the Dodgers. Is Jerry Hairston going over or under?
102. I'm going to go over. I think okay. They win somewhere between 104 to 107 wins this season. I just think their lineup is too talented, too deep. The pitching, especially the starting rotation, is deep and it's healthy. I think it's more healthier this year than it has been in the recent years. But the most important thing, Mooney, listen, the Dodgers, the players, they don't care if they win 103, 99, you know, they want those 11 wins in the postseason. They want to make sure they're playing their best baseball heading into the postseason, and that's all they really care about. That's their thing, 11 wins in the postseason.
Yeah, because as we've seen, you know, this Dodger team is pretty much, you can count on 100 from them every year. They went up to 111 one year, 100 a year ago. It's that postseason and being ready for it. And because it's a different animal than it used to be. You got 12 teams in the postseason and you got guys, some teams, the Dodgers, if anything's been a detriment, they've been so good in recent history. It's kind of like they've got the division wrapped up going into September and it's just coast where the rest of these teams, September is kind of playoff baseball for them to get in. And as we've seen in the postseasons now, and we're going to get to this team that went to the World Series a year ago, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they won 84 games and they're sitting there in the World Series, got hot at the right time. And that's kind of been the theme with this new playoff format. All right, let's go. It's now a balanced schedule, so it's different. It's different than it used to be. The NL West, they've got a lot of talent in this division I'm looking at right now. But in past, you'd beat up on one another. That's not the case anymore. It's a balanced schedule. That being said, you've seen a lot of the Padres over the year. Padres a year ago won 82 games. Big disappointment from the roster they constructed. You had Soto, you had Machado, you had Tatis, you had Bogarts, who they signed to a big deal coming over from Boston. Darvish, you had the Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, at the top of that rotation. A Musgrove, he was in and out of the rotation. But, man, he's been a horse for them. And it just didn't work out a year ago. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes those clubhouses don't have that chemistry. They're moving on. They added Dylan Cease, but they subtracted a Blake Snell. And Soto obviously went to the New York Yankees. Looking at that Padre roster currently, what are your thoughts?
They still have a lot of talent over there. You know, you mentioned Xander Bogaerts. I've always been a fan of his, man. I just love the way he plays the game. He plays the game the right way. He's very talented. He's a guy that moved from shortstop now to second base. I think that'll benefit him offensively. He's a guy that you can rely upon him giving you great at-bats and driving in the runs in that lineup. Kim is really good at shortstop, outstanding defensive shortstop, and he has some pop in his bat. The loss of Soto, yes, obviously it will hurt them. He is an incredible talent. But I think they're a team that may even benefit from subtraction him. Now, hear me out. Obviously, losing a bat like that is huge. But sometimes when you have too many stars and too many guys that do the same thing, it just doesn't gel. I think when you a team, you can have three stars that are superstars, let's say that are the same type of player, it just doesn't mesh. So let me say this about the Dodgers. Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. Three superstars, three completely different players. Completely different players. So that gels, okay? Because you can have a point guard, a great shooting guard, and a great center. They all gel. But when you have the same players, if you have three centers, like I thought like the Padres had with Soto, Machado, and Tatis, they're just similar type of players. I think now when you have when Soto's gone, you rely more on the Cronenworths, who's a different player than Manny Machado, who's a different player than Xander Bogaerts. I think those guys will have a chance to step up this season. And, yes, I believe the Blake Snell thing will hurt them a little bit. But them trading for Cease at the last minute was a big move for them, man. Dylan Cease has some great stuff. So I think they're going to be in the mix. They're just too talented of a team.
I think that's a great point with the Soto moving on. Everybody thinks Soto, and I think Soto is going to do a great job in New York, probably going to have a huge year. But you're right. That symmetry in the clubhouse, that camaraderie, you get too many starts. Let's be honest, and I've told this to San Diego fans all the time because I'm down here in San Diego. Don't care what you say, Manny Machado, perennial stud. Bogaerts. Tremendous talent. Soto, one of the great young hitters of the game on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I don't care what you say. Fernando Tatis Jr. is the star of San Diego. He's the guy they're putting on the cover of the media guide every year. It's just the way it is. He's a rock star. The problem is sometimes you mention the stars in the Dodgers lineup. These are veteran, mature guys. They've been there, done that for a long time. Soto, is he even 24 yet? You know, you've got to.
Yeah, exactly. He's been around so long.
These are young superstars, but they're not veteran. You got a Freddie Freeman who's got his family around. You know, he's a man. He's a man. These are still kids, and I don't mean kids in a condescending way. They're unbelievably young, talented kids, but they're kids. And that doesn't always work. So I think the point of Soto moving on, it would seem like a big hole in the lineup, like one of the great hitters of the game, but it could be a positive in the long run. And I hate to be, you know, use that same old scenario, too many cooks in the kitchen. No, it's just too many young superstars on the same team. And sometimes you get in the way of one another. I think this will be a good for both sides.
And they got that. He's going to tear it up for New York. I think that park is tailor made for him.
Without a doubt. All right, let's move on to the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, a year ago, nobody's paying any attention. I think that run put them on the map. A lot of young talent. Gallen Kelly at the top of that rotation. You brought in an Eduardo Rodriguez in the offseason, a Jock Peterson. You brought in Eugenio Suarez, third baseman from Seattle Mariners, who's kind of an underrated great. You talk about clubhouse guys. Everything I've heard from this Seattle team is, man, is he good in the clubhouse. He comes to play every day, strikes out a lot, doesn't hit for average, but you can kind of book him 25, 30 home runs, close to 100 ribbies, plays an underrated third base. The run they had last year with Corbin Carroll being their leader, unbelievable, put them on the map. I think they've gotten better. I think they've gotten a lot of confidence from that run they went through a year ago. Your thoughts on the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You mentioned their run last season. They really turned it on in the second half and really played well in the postseason to get to the World Series. I think they're better this year. You know, their team, I think, will win somewhere between 90 to 95 games. And they're a team that's very confident. They were an incredible defensive team last year. That's one thing that a lot of, let's say, East Coast, you know, media, the national media didn't give that team enough credit as far as their defensive skills. They do an incredible job catching the ball. They don't beat themselves. And that's huge. I don't care what league you're playing in. If you don't beat yourself, you put yourself in a pretty good position to win ballgames. They're great defensively up the middle. Really good first baseman. Walker does an incredible job at first base. Great range. He swings the bat really well. And they got guys in the outfield that can go run it down. They're a team that I saw last year, like, man. And I said it, Booty, I said it a few years back. I go, the way the game is going, if a team plays like a 90s-style type of team, they'll boat race a lot of teams in today's era. That's what the D-backs did last year. They played that 90s-style, stealing bases, you know, playing great defense, not beating themselves, played very intelligent, and they went on to the World Series. So they're a team that is fun to watch, very energetic. They're not getting the respect that they deserve nationally. I tell you what, here in L.A., we respect them. Without question, we respect them. And we know they're a tough team to beat. And they should be getting a lot more fanfare than they're getting. So they're a team that certainly has our respect. And they deserve all the praise, especially the way they played last year. And the Dodgers know, hey, we got to play our best brand of baseball this season and into the postseason, because we mentioned the Padres so far. We mentioned now the D-backs. There's some really good teams in this division. You can make a case. This is the best division in all of baseball.
No, I think it could be. And you're right. But they're not used to getting the respect, you know. Yeah. And we watched that whole run last year. It's, oh, you got to face the Dodgers. It's, you know, it was a nice little run, but it's over. They sweep the Dodgers. The most impressive thing I saw the Arizona Diamondbacks do a year ago was those first two games in Philly, where that was maybe the loudest venue I've ever seen. Now, I wasn't there. I was on TV watching it, but I said, and the Phillies just took it to them the first two games. And we finally said, okay, this great Diamondback story, it's over. Not only did they come back and won the series and went on to the World Series. And then there's only so many things you can overcome. But I think a year ago, being a young team, that catcher Moreno really grew a lot as a player. Perdomo at shortstop, man, is a good player. They re-signed Gurriel. You know, I forementioned they got a really good closer at the end. They got from Seattle, and Sewald faltered a little bit late, but he's got that invisible going. I think that run they went through a year ago really toughened them and gave them that experience, like, for when people don't give them their respect, like, oh yeah, okay, let's see how you know, they've got that inner confidence. They're a year more mature. I think they're going to make some noise, and still you don't see the national press giving that much respect, but that might have something to do with how good this Dodger team is and how good that division is.
And we didn't even mention Corbin Carroll.
He's a given at the top. What a player.
Superstar player. Great player.
All right, this is a team I want to get to. I don't think that the Colorado Rockies are going to do much this year, so I'm going to go straight to the Giants. A year ago, they won 79 games. But as I kind of watched through this offseason, and obviously the big news recently, the late signing of Blake Snell, the Cy Young Award winner, I really kind of looked at the Giants. A year ago, they weren't anything special. 79-83, yeah, they're okay. Bob Melvin makes the move up the 5 freeway to the Bay Area. And now I'm looking at that rotation. You've got Blake Snell. Is it the Blake Snell of a year ago, the Cy Young, or is it of 21 and 22 where he's a nice third starter? But then you got Webb. I think Webb's going to be win a Cy Young before it's all said and done. He's your two. You got Harrison. You got a Robbie Ray who's 2-3 years ago won a Cy Young. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. How does he, if he recovers well from that, he's sneaky good in that 3-4 hole. Jordan Hicks going from the bullpen to the starter. Who knows what's going to go on there? But then I look, they shored up their defense. They got Matt Chapman. He's got a platinum glove in his arsenal. The Lee kid from Korea, they say he's the greatest Korean player ever. We'll see. He had a really nice spring, gave him over $100 million. Solar hit 36 home runs a year ago. That's what they've added to this team. I think they might have had the tough to argue with the Dodgers offseason.
Yeah.
But if we're going to say the Dodgers had the biggest offseason, Giants are right there second. I think they improved themselves more than anyone else.
I would agree with that, you know, especially it's been sneaky good. You know, I think the Giants had a sneaky good offseason. Watching them play last year, that wasn't the Giants teams that I've been accustomed to watching. You know, not only watching as a Dodger broadcaster, but as a former player playing against the Giants. The Giants, you know, playing against that team when Bruce Bochy was the manager, you could always rely upon them catching the baseball. They had really good defense. They didn't beat themselves. They played very smart baseball, and they pitched well. That Giants team last year, their defense was probably the worst defensive Giants team I've ever seen. They could not catch a ball. They couldn't catch a cold in the Bay Area, Brett. They really struggled defensively. I was like, wow, it's amazing how bad they were defensively, and that crushed them. Now, fast forward. They go out and get arguably the best defensive third baseman in the game. You mentioned the platinum gloves. He is outstanding there at the hot corner. So he basically solidifies that left side of the infield along with the young shortstop. So that is a huge piece for them. And he gives them 15, 25 home runs. That is a huge plus, talking about Chapman. Now, I'm anxious to see their center fielder coming in for Korea. We know the success he had. We talk about Yamamoto on the pitching side for the Dodgers, the adjustments you're going to have to make here at the big league level. Can he make those adjustments at the big league level? Obviously, the Giants think he can. So if he's a really good defensive center fielder, that should shore up their defense. So the pitching has gotten a whole lot better. And we know, Brett, pitchers love pitching in that ballpark. Oh. It's not hitter-friendly. So if they pitch well and if they catch the ball well, that's a pretty good home field advantage there in the Bay. So they should be in the mix as well.
I think that's not said enough. And I don't, Jerry, I don't know if you might be too young to have played at Candlestick.
I am too young. Never played at Candlestick.
I played at Candlestick. And I'll tell you, you talk about a nightmare going to the Bay Area. That was one on the trip where, oh, my goodness, just survive it. Now, actually, when I got there, I hit pretty good at the stick. I don't know why, so I ended up liking it. But for the most part, the Bay Area isn't isn't on the list of favorite places, especially for hitters to go to. Because you mentioned that ballpark up there. It's a beautiful ballpark. But it's a big ballpark, and especially for left-handed hitters, it's the biggest in the game. Right center's ridiculous. It's windy. It's always cold in the Bay Area. Even though it's the middle of summer, it can be freezing. I remember as an offensive player, teammates of mine, we didn't like going to the Bay Area. So I think what you said there at the end, home field advantage, I think they've always had that little home field advantage. Hitters quite don't want to go there. You, as you know, when it's your home field, you just have to accept it because you've got no other. Hey, I'm playing 81 games here. I'm going to have a good attitude about it, and you go about your business. But being on the other side, it's like pitchers back in the day. That Colorado trip was coming up. They didn't want to go. I think it's similar for opposition offenses. We don't like going to the Bay Area. It's a hostile place.
There's a song, you know, I forget. I think it's in the 70s or 80s, maybe earlier than that. He said that the coldest winter I ever experienced was a summer in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I never understood what that meant until I played in San Francisco in July as a Dodger. And I'm playing center field and I'm sitting there going, why is my back so cold? It's July and it's 55 degrees in the middle of summer with the wind. And it felt like it was probably 40 degrees. So it is a unique place. It is tough to hit there. The fans are rowdy and good for them, especially when you're wearing Dodger blue. I remember on the on-deck circle, Brett, years ago, I had a couple guys kind of harassing me on the on-deck circle, and we love it as players. I look over. It's two guys. Now, the one guy was really giving it to me, but the other guy next to him was Joe Montana. You know, Super Joe Montana, Joe Cool. So I told the guy, hey, dude, you can keep quiet. I said, Joe, you can say whatever you want, you know. So they have a tremendous fan base, and we love that rivalry. Dodgers-Giants is great for the game, great for sports. So when the Giants, we don't want them to be too good, but we want them to be good so we can have a nice little back and forth, and with the Dodgers hopefully being on top.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, they had that big run in the middle of the 2010s where they won a World Series every other year. They won three of them, became kind of a dynasty under Bruce Bochy. Bob Melvin going up there now. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But I think as a whole, I'm with you. I think this could be the best division in baseball. Jerry Hairston, I appreciate you coming on the Brett Boone podcast. It's been a lot of fun. Stay in touch. We're getting ready for opening day. Check out Jerry. He'll be covering the Dodgers this year on the broadcast team. Check him out on Instagram. He's a big Graham guy, so check him out on the Instagram. I think it's what? J-Hair what?
At the real J-Hair. On the Graham. J-Hair.
Check him out. He's the one that we were playing golf one day. Side note here. We were playing golf one day, and he said, hey, Booney, I got to get it for the Graham. That's when I became it. I was hip now. I was hip. I call it the Graham now. My kids think I'm cool. Anyway, Jerry, thanks for coming on and breaking this down for me. Best of luck to you and the Dodgers this year. Stay in touch. For those of you listening to the Boone Podcast, I appreciate you tuning in. For you now watching on YouTube, I appreciate that. And until next time, we'll be right here